Season 9, Episode 9, An Assault on Office Decorum. And a warning, this episode refers to sexual escapades that may offend some people. We advise listener discretion, as always. The crew, Alan, Trage and Sarah, discuss a confronting case. Evan, Ashley, Solstice against Metley Toleda Limited, 2023. Which made headlines, creepy office work is slammed by judge for filthy acts at work. The judge called the situation shambolic. Great word, reflects Trage. Sarah explains some of the findings resulting from Alan's case research. This worker was found to engage in purposeful, lewd workplace behaviours. While admitting the inappropriateness of the workplace behaviours, Alan struggles with the connection of these behaviours to sexual harassment industrial law, which tethers Trage and Sarah to a good debate on this topic. Tune in for more on this case and other discussions on workplace taboos.
Bring it on, the kaleidoscope.
And welcome to the WoWork podcast, a series of playful legal dissections on the most curious and alarming events in the world of work. The podcasters Alan Girl, Trage Svetkovsky and Sarah Pazell debate how to craft a better experience of work. Sit back, relax and enjoy. And remember, none of the things we talk about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work.
Hey, Trage. Mm-hmm. So I passed around a little news article about a dismissal, somebody who was dismissed because of their apparent lewd behaviors at the workplace. And Alan did research on this. He researched this. So it's the case of Evan Ashley Solis versus Metler Toledo Limited. And Alan, you've done research on this. You gave me a little synopsis, which was great.
Yeah, I got the judgment.
Do you want me to remind you of what you shared with me?
Yep.
All right. So it says the key words of this reasoning. So give us the general overview first. Do you remember what the guy was doing? And then I'll go into this key reasonings.
He was dismissed. He was dismissed on the basis that he was engaged in sexual harassment. And then he contested the dismissal, said he was wrongfully dismissed, and the dismissal was upheld by the tribunal. It's an interesting case. There's no doubt that his behaviour was bad behaviour. But let's have a talk about whether or not it was sexual harassment or whether it was something else.
Well, the media tagline was, creepy office worker is slammed by judge for filthy acts at work. So that's pretty provocative. And he was doing things like walking down the hallway, allegedly, lifting his leg and farting purposely loudly right next to you while you're working, or burping, or disclosing sexcapades with his wife, group orgies, and their furry-isms, the furries, that acts that they enjoyed doing with a fur costume.
He engaged in multiple behaviour that you wouldn't want to see in a workplace. A big chapter, though, was about his relationship with his wife and other partners.
Oh, he was polyamorous.
Open marriage, polyamorous, whatever it was, right?
And so he was describing his own relationship with his wife and other people.
At work?
At work.
In the workplace. The water cooler talk went a little further south than it normally
went. A little bit with hot water.
Boiling and it less decorum than you might otherwise expect.
So was he doing a bit of salt and pepper? Let's talk about sex, baby.
Well, he wasn't. he was recounting what he'd done over the weekend.
But in graphic detail.
In graphic detail. And it was unwelcome. It was no one wanted to hear about it.
Trish wants to go to this workplace now.
I'm curious.
It was awful. There's no denying that.
It was for those people. It went beyond entertaining.
Because he wasn't picking up on the cues.
Yeah.
Or was he and just enjoying the discomforts of others?
Maybe, yes.
So before you go, so suddenly, just that as well, talking about your escapades of the weekend, suddenly...
You're not going to tell us the story, are you?
No, the issue around psychologically safe, respectful...
Workplaces.
Professional workplaces. It's starting to now, those parameters are being tested big time.
And yet, right? But when you say this, it's tested because of the behavior of one person as opposed to we don't know how to unpick what the organizational strategies were around this because you always point out, Trish.
Yeah.
Did the workplace have a policy or procedure? Yeah. But sometimes how explicit do you need to get? Do you actually need to think you need to say, hey, please, no passing wind purposely. If you could constrain this otherwise while walking past a work colleague's desk, do you need to have a policy on that?
No, I don't think you need to have a policy on that. But if someone is passing wind, you might need to have
not
a conversation first to see whether there's a medical problem.
Mm.
And if there's no medical problem, then it's absolutely unacceptable.
So
if it's purposeful, you didn't just let one accidentally, like, oops, sorry, guys.
So I'm just trying to unpack this. It wasn't just about the salacious, inappropriate, oh, what a night type of conversation.
No, he engaged in multiple...
He was also...
Repeated.
He was also passing wind.
Yeah.
So he was doing other things.
There was a third thing that he was doing disturbing. The nature of the office was that if someone went to the toilet,
right,
that there wasn't a room in between. There wasn't it was just the door.
Mm.
You had the office, and then there was a door, and then there was the toilet bowl. And he would go to the toilet to urinate and would leave the door open so everyone could see him
in the toilet.
So that itself was terrible behaviour.
Here's some of the main issues, right, that are claimed. It's claimed that Mr. Solis would bait the women in the office into asking questions about his sex life.
Right.
He would do this by saying a small piece of innocuous information which the women would respond to. They might ask a question and then it opened the door and he would share details about his sex life. He had a polyamorous lifestyle.
So they were
partners swapping and swinging.
Right, so we could call that unsolicited sex.
Where there were role play events. His wife dresses up as a nurse. Mr. Solis finds it so effing hot when she fixes me up while she's all dressed up, and he would share that kind of dialogue.
Can I ask,
was this fixing him up was pretending to treat him as a patient?
Yeah, are you familiar? Yeah, we got that, Alan. We got that.
But no, it wasn't fixing him up in another way.
We got that. Yeah, the role play.
He went to the office explaining he'd been to a party the night before. The scratches were from a friend who wanted to prove you're not offended. Who wanted to prove that her nails were that sharp.
He later contested that and said the friend was a man, not a woman.
He wants to correct the record.
He wanted to correct the record.
Now he would use.
Hold on. Before I want you to continue on with that, but just before you move on. So that he would say something. Another staff member would ask him a question, and then he would tell the full story of his sexual. Activities, right. Now, that was interpreted as him baiting the other worker, but maybe it wasn't.
The defence lawyer's coming out in you.
He was testing the waters to see whether or not the other worker would be interested in what he did on the weekend.
All right, well, let me continue.
There was an interpretation of those three things.
Right. So.
Okay.
He might not have been aware. He might have thought they were genuinely interested, and then they had a good, fair friendship that he could openly discuss this. Can I just say this right now before we proceed? Mm. I have really good friendships with you guys. I do not want to know that level of detail, right?
No.
Even though we have a great friendship, just keep that.
Yeah, like, for example, I would prefer not to listen to anyone else's sexualized hobbies or fetishes.
especially if I know them.
If I know them, then it's all it's all too visual, it's too much, it's ruined the...
You can't unhear or unvisualise if that's such a word.
Can't unsee it.
But just for going on, just so our readers, our listeners...
Subscribers,
We are talking about a case in the year 2025.
Yes. Yeah, current, right?
Not 1985. Thank you. Not Benny Hill 1975.
Oh, my gosh, my dad loved Benny Hill.
Not, Carry On Nurse. Yes. None of that stuff.
No, current.
We are talking last couple of months.
Yeah. In the zeitgeist, when we know things like psychosocial risk management is really significant, you want to have a safe workplace, et cetera.
Psychologically safe.
Yeah. So on multiple occasions, as Alan said, Mr. Solis would use the urinal in the men's bathroom with the door open.
Dearie.
So another colleague, Ms. Krucharski, told him that she found this disgusting. He would often also use the women's bathroom if the men's was occupied, so he wouldn't wait.
Mischievous.
He openly burped and farted.
Openly burped and farted.
Yeah, what do you call it?
Provocateur.
Provocateur, thank you.
Okay, but also there was, from memory, there was leering too.
Leering, that's the next one.
Leering is always tricky, though.
Tricky one. How do you prove that?
I raise that because apparently some of the evidence was he'd give us, like, the gaze or the look.
And the tone was suggestive and he would stare at her body.
It's a tricky one, isn't it?
Hard, right? That's a hard one. But she was definitely uncomfortable, okay?
And so, I think the piece of evidence that gave weight to that interpretation was he commented on how some of the female staff look good in the slacks that they wear,
right.
or something like that. So you put the two together and it
combines the evidence and adds a compelling case.
Yeah.
So here's another one. I actually missed this. Mr. Solis's wife would visit the Perth office during lunchtime, and during the visits, she would sit on his lap. They would, at work, start kissing and touching each other. Awkward.
Yeah, she was...
PDA, public displays of affection, plus.
Yeah, so that's the other thing too. And from memory, these were things like fondling and, very suggestive kind of displays of affection in a public place.
Yeah. Yes.
Which, in Western
society... A workplace, more than just a place. It's not just at the park outside the workplace, in the workplace.
Yeah,
I think not just the word fondling appears in the case, but she was sitting on his lap.
We should find out in a
very passionate way.
Well, isn't that funny? Even if the word doesn't appear, it's all about perception. Immediately, when this idea of public displays, I presumed, we'll find out in the break when the fondle is used. I know that's a bit strong, but isn't that funny how suddenly my imagination is running wild? Mm-hmm. Because why shouldn't it? Because these facts are just outrageously salacious.
So, the key words of the reasoning, this is what you teased out, Alan. Thanks for this research. Yeah, yeah. You've shared with us that the judgment, the reasoning, there's nothing wrong with being sex positive. Nice, open-minded. However, there is a time and place to be discussing your sex life, and the workplace is often neither, unless there's positive evidence that it is acceptable, like social, culturally. I don't know what kind of scenario that would exist in. Maybe in some of the brothels that we've talked about that are also workplaces, right? Workplace. Maybe in those social constructs. And then I find that the frequency and detail, so it was frequency and content, right? Detail of Mr. Solis's conversations about his sex life went beyond the appropriate work conduct, constituted conduct of a sexual nature. The conduct with his wife in the workplace also constituted a sexual nature, and the judge, the reason, also included the staring at the other employee was stated here as being inappropriate, a sexual nature. With regards to the third element of sexual harassment, I find that a reasonable person, there's your test, would a reasonable person have anticipated the possibility of these other staff members being offended, humiliated, or intimidated? This is not based on Mr. Solis's relationship, lifestyle, or being anything other than heteronormative and monogamous. A reasonable person does not judge or discriminate against relationships of informed and consenting adults. So this is very mature reasoning. However, I have considered this was an office-based environment No evidence led that the relationships Mr. Solis had with his co-workers were the sort that was involving consensual sharing of details. They've also had stated that they were offended by this, right? So it goes on, blah, blah, blah. And a reasonable person understands they should not be disclosing this level of detail about their sex life at work. So it's all the reasonable test, right? And so... I know Therese will be like, is it so far as is reasonably practical? Is it low as is reasonably
well,
practical?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not just, it's not a design test.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Thank God that there's no practicable component. It's just about
with regards to the other allegations about Mr. Solis's actions, I accept the evidence that Mr. Solis would openly and deliberately, so he agreed, he thought it's too much collusion, so too much...
corroboration.
Corroborating evidence. Yeah. That's right. That's what I want. To burp and fart in the office regularly, on a regular basis, walking past his co-workers' desks.
Jeez, he's really...
And leaving the toilet door open.
He's a trifecta, hasn't he?
He's a trifecta.
Of disrespect. I mean, put the sexual...
Burping and farting whilst inappropriate workplace behaviour and could in itself form a basis for management action. It's not sexualised behaviour.
No, I mean, he's hit the trifecta. He's gone the disrespect with the sexual convo. So the narrative, the monologue. Sex diaries of a farting, burping worker. They add the fart and the burp, and then he's got the tour dog swinging the...
leaving the toilet door open. Yeah.
Mate, close it.
Again...
that's really disrespectful. That's next level.
So with the going to the toilet, there was no evidence that he was trying to expose himself in front of the other staff.
Okay.
He was just being disrespectful.
Yeah,
and
okay.
And that's completely unacceptable workplace behaviour. And that on its own, I would have thought, would have been a basis for management action.
Could you imagine having to debate this as a manager, as an industrial relations, HR, workforce strategy, people in culture manager going, oh, my gosh, or safety manager? Where do we start with this?
I reckon they'd struggle because not everyone's wide like we are. We're pretty deep down and we'll roll the sleeves up. We'll get our hands dirty in the reeds.
What would you suggest? You're the lawyer.
I feel a bit uncomfortable about this case.
Wow.
I don't feel uncomfortable at all about him being disciplined or sacked.
I've got
no problem with that at all.
Of course.
His workplace behaviour went well beyond what's acceptable workplace behaviour. But his conversations about his sexual antics with his wife, who he obviously had a loving relationship with his wife, be everyone's relationship, but he obviously did.
Loving? So there,
because she came in at lunch and she would passionately embrace him.
Fondle,
canoodle.
That's the way.
But you don't know if there's coercion. You don't know how to unpack that. So that's interesting to me that you've used loving in that term.
Well, it's because she's coming in to visit him.
What's your love language, Alan?
It's not that.
Is it touch is touch one of your love languages?
But the reason why I feel a bit uncomfortable is that his actions don't appear to be directed in that he wasn't making a sexual advance. He wasn't suggesting that the other workers engage in some sort of sexualized activity with him. He was bragging about his weekends.
Do you think he was opening the door to invite them, though? Maybe that's
why they felt uncomfortable.
He might have
been opening the door to invite them, but it's different.
All speculative. It's speculative. We don't know.
All the other sexual harassment cases we've looked at, it's been directed activity, where the person who's been accused has engaged in activity that was directed towards the person who made the accusation. And this case, I'm wondering whether this case opens the door and means that we'll see an even wider range of sexual harassment cases.
So is this about sexual harassment or wrongful termination? Sorry, let me get back to the actual details of the case.
Well, he was dismissed on the basis of sexual harassment.
That's what they used as
the lever. And then he said that he had silly arguments. He thought his behaviour was normal and acceptable, and I can't imagine any workplace where his behaviour would be normal and acceptable.
So despite his argument that it was unfair, he obviously lost his job. He was dismissed.
I think that was inevitable. Inevitable that he would lose his job.
Yeah, not whether an appeal or...
So if you were walking in to defend the employer or to help the employer, and the employer says, holy heck, look at that in my workplace, what do I do? How do I manage the situation? And the employee is still there, put it that way. He's not been dismissed yet. Come on in. Tell me yours.
If the employer had approached me before dismissing him, I would have said, call him in, tell him that's it, you no more strikes, you know, if you do anything like this ever again, you're out, and detail it. Detail what was inappropriate behaviour.
Mm.
It would be a long list. And I'm, you know, a guy like this is going to do something. So you would have been able to say he's on notice that it's inappropriate behaviour. He's re-engaged in the inappropriate behaviour, and we're dismissing him on the basis that he knows what's acceptable behaviour and has gone on and engaged in unacceptable behaviour. But I just don't feel comfortable about calling it sexual harassment.
Well, wow. The thing was, okay. It's more about some of the evidence that was accepted was that the workers, female workers specifically, did feel unsafe, felt like they were on edge. Mm. So there was the environment now had become very tense. And,
yes, it was an unpleasant workplace.
Yeah, that was accepted. So whether or not, let's say, without any shadow of a doubt, it was sexual harassment, too late. An atmosphere of disrespect, I suppose, was bubbling to the surface.
So what?
There's so many angles to his behaviour.
For the protection of the other staff.
Yeah.
It's surprising the business didn't move earlier.
We hope you enjoyed that episode of Why Work. You've been listening to Trage, Sarah and Alan. And if you'd like to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, please subscribe, and we'd be more than happy to provide you with information, names of cases, and other things that may interest you. Please be aware that none of the matters we've talked about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work. See you next time.
Bring it on, the kaleidoscope.